Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday, December the 9th, 2011. Is it ever going to warm up? This has been a very, very cool week. Weather Service keeps saying, well, the freeze is over. I am so glad we covered the plants for the fifth straight day in a row last night because, yes, indeed, the bird bath was frozen solid this morning. I am Bill Buckmaster. Thank you for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1 on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our voice network partners, our friends in Douglas and Cochise County that listen to the Buckmaster Show on 930 AM KAPR, in Gila County in Globe, Eastern Arizonans listen to us on KJAA AM 1240. We stream the show live at buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com, and if you missed a particular show, we've got it for you. It's archived at buckmastershow.com. There are also now three venues to choose from for 24/7, anytime, anywhere listening. You can log on to buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and our newest arrangement with tucsoncitizen.com. Fridays on the Buckmaster Show, we get things going on our Friday Focus interview featuring a Southern Arizona newsmaker. Today, we welcome Tucson City Manager Richard Miranda. Joining me to question Mr. Miranda, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. We invite you to join in the conversation. The Buckmaster Show live line number is 790-2040. You can also submit questions at buckmastershow.com or on the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show is presented by our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net. Richard and Sarah, thanks for being with us.
Good to be here with you, Bill. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure. Richard Miranda started with the city as a police officer in 1975. In the late 90s, he became the chief of police. And earlier this year, he became the city manager when Mike Letcher was asked to leave as the city manager, and Richard Miranda is now the city manager. Mr. Miranda, it's good to see you again.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill.
How would you say the city is doing financially as we close out the books on calendar year 2011 and head into 2012? Have we turned the corner? Is there some light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, I think you articulated very accurately. I think we've turned a corner somewhat in terms of economic development in our community. We're seeing a little bit of growth in terms of sales tax, and with that, we're able to take a look at this year's budget and maybe increase services a little bit and help our employees who dedicated themselves in terms of giving furloughs up their salaries and some other pension and benefit costs. So we were able to put those back into the budget. Not to say that in 2013 we're not going to have problems, but we've seen a little bit of growth in sales tax, and for that I'm very grateful.
So to balance the budget, you probably will not have to rely then on city furloughs?
No, we articulated to our employees in the community that starting at the beginning of January for the rest of the fiscal year, we will no longer be doing furloughs.
That's good news.
I wanted to ask about the situation down at Poca Cosa, the restaurant in the base of the green parking garage. I know it has a different name than that, but that's how I know it.
Pennington Street Garage.
I just wondered, it's been reported that there was some arrangements with the ownership there that the city was covering utilities. What is the status of that? I know it was a substantial amount of money. What's the status? Is Poca Cosa going to have to pay that back? And what can you tell us?
Well, what occurred was, in terms of background, that we discovered that for a number of years, the city of Tucson has been picking up the electrical costs for Cafe Poca Cosa. There was an original agreement made with the cafe to take up some costs that while the garage was being constructed. However, there was never an agreement to pick up the electrical bill for them. Through some analysis and investigation, we discovered this occurred. The amount that has been costing taxpayers is about $116,000. understanding that there was some dialogue that went back and forth and some disagreement as to what happened, and we're going through those legal processes. We still feel that we need to recoup that money, and we're trying to work with the parties and have that dialogue so that we can recoup it in some fashion. Totally being understanding to come up with $116,000 from any business would be difficult. But we are in the process through our city attorney to develop some sort of agreement to get that money back.
What about the attitude that seems to sort of underlie an agreement like that, you know, whether it's written down or just sort of agreed? The idea of there are signature businesses and kind of anchors downtown that it's in the city's interest, of course, to keep happy and to keep downtown and to kind of create a foundation for other businesses and to bring people downtown. Are there other agreements out there like this with other parties that the city has basically said, do what you need to keep them happy and keep them downtown?
Well, this particular agreement, I don't think was really an agreement. I think there was some sort of misunderstanding or understanding that we were going to take care of this. For me, though, the issue is when we get into these kinds of agreements, for example, the issue with the Hotel Arizona, that we're doing it in a transparent basis, that people understand what the decision-making is behind it, that they understand that we are working in the best interest of the taxpayers, that any kind of investment we're going to make is going to benefit the community entirely. If there are other agreements out there like that, I don't know. They haven't come forward. But again, if we were going to go forward and provide a platform for any kind of incentives, we need to make sure that the community, the city council, understands what we're doing and they are in agreement and concur with what the investment we're looking forward to.
790-2040, 790-2040. Richard Miranda is our guest here on Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show, and he'd be delighted to answer any questions that come his way here on the Buckmaster Show. What about this plan that the council is considering, Mr. Miranda, the local hire plan? What's your understanding of that, and would that put more Tucsonans back to work?
We are going to establish a committee to take a look at the local hiring plan. The platform for this plan is that if we hire locally, that there would be a greater investment in our community through those wages being paid to those workers. The analysis of that is what this committee is all about. There are people out there in the community who feel that this might be detrimental to the economic base of the city of Tucson, but again, there are other people who feel that if we do this, it will provide more jobs, it will provide more opportunity for people to go out and spend money, and that it's an important issue that we need to take a look at. There are people in my office who are going to be in this committee that will provide this analysis, and we'll take a look at it and provide a recommendation to the mayor and council and to the community as to what we find out.
Because Richard Fimbrace, councilman, sent out a news release today. He's very much in favor of this local hire plan, which I guess cities across the country as well as some county governments have implemented such a policy.
There are a number of communities throughout the country who have implemented such a policy, and they feel that it benefits them. And again, we want to take a really hard look at Councilmember Fimbrace's idea and provide that analysis so we get the correct feedback to the community.
I wanted to ask a bit about the transition from former city manager Mike Letcher, who you worked with for a long time, and then now that you're in the city manager position. There was always talk that there was some dissension in the city manager's office among administrators. So could you just kind of explain a little bit about changes that you've made, differences in approach? What kind of manager are you? How are you different from Mike Letcher? And how do you think that will come across for the people of Tucson?
Well, it's very observable that there were some issues that came across through the community about the management of the city, and they were very well articulated in the media. The issue for me in taking over was to restore the trust and confidence in the management of the city. The people who go out on the front lines, the police officers, the firefighters, people who cut the grass, they do a fantastic job in terms of what they do for the city. providing a quality service is what I'm looking at. My management style is one where I feel there needs to be process, there needs to be control, and most importantly, there needs to be accountability for what we're doing. And that when we provide those kind of services to the community, they understand that there's a thought process that is considering what the community wants from us, that we have our priorities in order, and that we are being very transparent in how we do business. I think my style coming over from the police department is one that we have structure, that there is discipline, and that I'm very forthright and blunt in terms of what I want, and my expectations are clear. So when we put performance measures together, when we articulate what we're doing, there is an expectation from me that we are doing the best job possible for the citizens of our community.
Do you think that it was an issue with lack of clarity perhaps before? Because you mentioned that, you know, you're very blunt, you're very forthright, this is what I want and this is how I want it done. Was that an issue in how things, because from the outside, it certainly seemed like there weren't clear directions, there wasn't a clear message coming through.
Well, I think when you take a look at some of the issues that that were impacted and articulated in the media, the processes that were needed to remedy those situations were not in place. So when you talk about clarity, both internally and externally, I think it needed to be amplified and taken care of, and that's one of the issues that I wanted to take on immediately. I put together a team of people who I feel understand what my expectations are, who are very clear and direct in terms of the needs in community, from the community to our employees. So in terms of answering your question, I think there needed to be more direct processes that accommodated the efficiencies that were needed. And when we saw those problems, we needed to take care of them immediately. And there's always going to be problems within city government, within any kind of government. But I think the expectation is that we take care of them in an immediate fashion and that we are observable in our decision-making.
We'll take a break right here. Richard Miranda is with us. He is the Tucson City Manager. Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Arizona Daily Star joining me in the questioning. And you're also welcome to join if you have any questions, complaints about the city that you would like to air out with Mr. Miranda. He would be glad to listen and hopefully answer your question. 790-2040. Stay with us. Let's hear from the Buckmaster lineup of fine sponsors.
I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock for what it's worth.
For what?
What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Twelve 20 on the Buckmaster Show, and Richard Miranda, Tucson City Manager, is with us, and Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer of the Arizona Daily Star, is joining me in the questioning. Parkwise 911, the problems with the system, a couple of black eyes that have been on city government for the year 2011. First of all, with the 911, can the residents of the city of Tucson feel confident, Mr. Miranda, that when they pick up the phone, if they have an emergency, there will be a response?
Yes, I think the citizens of Tucson can have that feeling of confidence when they call 911 that you'll get the emergency response. We've transferred 911 over to the Tucson Fire Department, which is one of the finest police fire departments in the country. And they've put some structure in place. They've talked to the employees to assure them that they have our backing in terms of their complaints and issues. The fire chief has assured me they're taking care of most of the technical issues that were raised. So the confidence in the system is there. And if there are issues that people have with 911, we've implemented a hotline so that there's an alternative way to contact them. So I think we've put the remedies in place and the contingencies to take care of any issues that might occur.
Mike is on the Buckmaster Show live line. Mr. Miranda, if you'd slip your headset on there so we'll be able to hear Mike. And Mike has a question for you about parking tickets. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, first off, I got one. So whether I deserved it or not is probably a little debatable. I went to a U of A game in the area around there. There's you're not allowed to park within 5 feet of a driveway. I assumed it was always like 1 foot, but I made the wrong assumption. And got a ticket for $180, and then they had a $13 fee that I couldn't figure out why that was on there. But all the area was marked where you couldn't park with red around it. But, of course, at the driveways of these houses, none of that was red. So anybody who parked near there, and there had to be hundreds of people, got tickets that day. I mean, I was pretty upset about it because it's not marked anywhere that you can't park within 5 feet. But I guess ignorance of the law is no excuse. But how can a parking ticket be $193?
Okay, thank you, Mike. Let's hear what Mr. Miranda says.
Well, the fines and penalties are set both in accord to some state rules and regulations, but mostly by the mayor and council, and they're presented to them for approval on most basis. So it's not a decision that we make at the administrative level, but it's vetted through the legislative process. And some of the fees and penalties that go along, not only parking tickets, but your regular speeding tickets, come from the state. And there's a misnomer out there that we're making a lot of money on speeding tickets, but if you look at the percentages, a lot of it goes back up to Phoenix.
You know, Mike actually triggers kind of a point here about parking in downtown. That's kind of been the knock on a lot of people not wanting to go downtown because there wasn't adequate parking. But now really with the new garages, it's pretty much up to speed, isn't it?
Well, we're doing a lot of analysis about parking downtown and on 4th Avenue to be more direct in terms of what we're planning. Because the downtown area has really taken off with the restaurants and the bars and the entertainment that's going on, and parking has become an issue. And then we couple that with a streetcar that's coming along line. We're going to have to take a look at some of the parking issues along both ends of the streetcar line, and we're doing that planning. But there's a lot of development coming on along the streetcar line in the downtown area, and parking is an issue, and we are taking a hard look at that.
Sarah Garrett-Gasson now, the Arizona Daily Star.
Is there any consideration for making parking free? I know that other cities have done that as a way to get people to come downtown. I was at the Fox, the benefit for the diaper bank on Sunday, and trying to find a place to park was kind of difficult because some of the garages were closed nearby. But you have to pay $5, $6, $7. And I heard people just say, you know, in the crowd, well, they should make parking free because it's an expense that you don't really think of when you make plans to go somewhere. Is that even in the conversation?
To be blunt, no, it's not in the conversation because the parking garages are primarily built by borrowing money. We have to pay back that debt service, and there are issues with us and Rio Nuevo in terms of ownership, so it would take a collaborative effort to make that happen. Again, when we start costing out these parking garages, someone's going to have to pay for them, and so the users of the garages are the ones that do that. I believe that in some of the garages that you get maybe the first or second hour free if you're going into a restaurant or one of the other shops there, so that's accommodated. But when you start looking at how do we fund these garages and paying back the debt service, it's got to come from someplace, and it's primarily the users.
You brought up Rio Nuevo. How are things going in terms of the discussions of who owns what, what's legally owed to who?
Well, one of the best things that I think has happened in a long time is going to happen next week. We are going to go into a mediation session with some members of the Rio Nuevo board that is going to be chaired and adjudicated by a former judge. Myself, the city attorney, and a couple of my staff people will be in that. And we're going to try and work through all the issues and come up with some ideas in terms of remedy. And this is something that we've been advocating and wanted to do for a real long time so that we can come out of those meetings and assure that the taxpayers that we're coming to some agreement so we can get something done downtown, primarily with the TCC and all the other areas that are supposed to be taken care of by the state-appointed board and ourselves. So this mediation session that we're going to be going into is planned for 3 days behind closed doors. And hopefully we'll come out with some ideas. But more importantly for me, I hope we come out with some communication schedules that will put us out in the community together, having an observable dialogue so that when the issues come out, we are talking about them together. And that kind of summit, that kind of conversation that could occur on a monthly basis needs to occur. And one of the things that I'm going to be talking about in that mediation session is how do we continue the conversation so that there is, again, confidence in what we're doing downtown.
Yeah, this is the first I've heard about this mediation session. So it's going to be a 3-day session. Begins when?
We're going to start on Wednesday, and it's going to go through Friday as scheduled.
And a judge is going to be involved?
There is a retired judge that we're going to be using to do the mediation. And we are right now, as we speak, putting together our platforms and our preparation for the mediation, and we'll exchange those, take a look at them. The judge will put us in rooms and talk about them and try to come up to some solutions as to what we should do with the properties, the monies, and what's going to happen in the future. And again, this is something that we've been wanting to do for a real long time, get us behind closed doors and have a third party tell us what we need to do.
Because as far as I know, this is the first time the two sides have sat down, right?
Well, we sat down informally and talked about issues. We've had some terms that we've come to agree with. But quite frankly, when we've gone back to formalize those, the signatures haven't been gotten. We've had discussions ever since I've been up on the 10th floor about this, and those dialogues and communications have occurred. But this thing that we're going to be doing this week, this mediation, is formal. We're gonna come out with some dialogue and some commentary, and I hope with some agreements that we'll allay some of the issues that we've been dealing with over the years.
I've only got about 10 seconds, but that caller, we couldn't get the caller on the air. How are you doing with the caller wanted to know, how are you getting along with the mayor, the new mayor?
Mayor Rothschild is doing an exceptional job in his first week. He's spending a lot of time with city staff and myself trying to get to know the city bureaucracy and administration, and I'm pretty excited about his administration.
Richard Miranda, thank you very much. Good luck as you continue as city manager. And Sarah Garrett-Gasson, thanks for joining in the questioning. And have a great holiday season, Mr. Miranda.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot. Stay with us. The Reporters Roundtable, Sarah Garrett-Gasson, Jimmy Bogle, The Weekly, they're next. Stay with us. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington.
Hopes for a solution to Europe's debt crisis have come and gone. Today, they're back, and the renewed optimism is driving stocks higher today on Wall Street. Police believe the gunman who killed a Virginia Tech police officer and then took his own life yesterday had stolen a rental car at gunpoint earlier in the day, about 15 miles away. However, they're still looking for a motive in the shooting. Newt Gingrich ready to hit back at Mitt Romney. Gingrich's campaign is holding a phone call today to have Iowa supporters attack Romney. The Romney campaign yesterday assailed Gingrich as irrational and unfit to lead. Updating the Wall Street numbers, the Dow trading about 189 points higher, the NASDAQ ahead 52, the S&P up 22. More details at srnnews.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, AM 1030 in the Voice Network over Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. Each Friday afternoon, we present the Friday Reporters Roundtable featuring local journalists who sound off on the week's top stories. Joining me today on the Friday Roundtable, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star, and Jimmy Bogle has joined us in studio. Jimmy is the editor of the Tucson Weekly, voted best non-daily newspaper this year by the Arizona Publishers Association. That's your Christmas present.
Gosh, Bill, you're making me blush over here.
That's your Christmas present right there. We're delighted that the Buckmaster Show is available 24/7 anytime, anywhere listening on three websites, TucsonCitizen.com, TucsonSentinel.com, and of course, our website, BuckmasterShow.com. Our live line is always open for you, 790-2040. And Sarah, a little bit of news there that was disclosed with the city manager, Richard Miranda, in the final few minutes of our Friday Focus interview that your question to him was, when are the two sides in the Rio Nuevo issue, the board and the city, going to finally sit down? And I guess there will be 3 days of meetings next week.
Yeah, it's you know, been known that they were going to mediation. The Rio Nuevo board has, in way of background, has filed suit or notice of claim against the city to try to figure out who owns what, who's obligated to pay for what in terms of land, facilities, parking garages, that sort of thing. So we knew that they had agreed to go to mediation, but what city manager Richard Miranda said was that beginning on Wednesday, he and city attorney Mike Rankin and I think maybe one or two other people and some folks on the Rio Nuevo Multipurpose Facilities Board end of things will meet with a retired judge. They will put together position papers. This is what we think about this. This is what we think about this. And they will hash it out over 3 days. I don't know if it's legally binding, but certainly it is.
And that was a question. We ran out of time. We couldn't put it on the air, but you asked that of Mr. Miranda after we were off the air about now what,
yeah.
What about what if the judge says do this, do you have to go by it?
And he said that he wasn't sure if it was legally binding, like legal arbitration, things like that, that it's a different process, but that the intent certainly is you have a retired judge, you have someone who knows the law, who can look at both positions and say, you're going to win, you're going to lose, and basically hash out all these differences and come to a meeting of minds by the end of the 3 days. So whether or not they're legally obligated to do that, they are certainly civically obligated, I think, to get this done, get this wrapped up, figure things out, and move on together.
It's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, if a judge comes up and says, hey, the Rio Nuevo board, your case is right, or City of Tucson, your case is right, or probably somewhere in between, and they say, nah, we don't want to abide by that, that's going to look really bad. But let's face it, they haven't been afraid to look bad in the past, so who really knows at this point?
That's true. Although you would hope that someone with some sort of legal background, you know, a retired judge, would be able to convince whatever party that you're just going to lose. It's not going to be worth it. Just move on.
790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line. You are listening to the Friday Reporters Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net. Jimmy, let's go to this court decision on health care that came down this week. Thousands of needy Arizonans are impacted.
Yeah. Of course, during the legislative session, the legislators decided to cut a bunch of people off of access, which is the equivalent of the state Medicare system. our Medicaid system. And their argument was that even though voters long ago said that, you know, the state needs to cover these people, we don't have the money to do it. And they depended on a very narrow interpretation of the law of available funds. And they said, we don't have any funds available. Well, the Arizona Supreme Court ruled this week that that could stand. And as a result, a lot of Arizonans aren't going to have health care insurance. And you know, that's a bad thing. You know, I understand the state's got some financial issues and stuff like that, but this is let's really honestly go to the root of this. This is going to cost some people their lives. If they don't have insurance, they aren't going to get things checked. They aren't going to go into to a doctor. They're going to be waiting until something goes really wrong, and they're going to go to the emergency rooms. Right. And a lot of local state hospitals have actually been claiming that this is going to really hurt them financially. Now, of course, you know, people tend to exaggerate the effects of things. But it's really going to, you know, we're really going to have to see, presuming appeals don't go anywhere, what is going to happen as a result of this, because that's going to be a lot of money that's going to come out of the pockets of these hospitals who are going to have to pay to care for these people when they get really, really sick.
And we're talking about, according to reporting from Howard Fisher of Capital Media Services, about 135,000 otherwise eligible low-income Arizonans. And to qualify is the poverty level, the federal poverty level, which is adjusted about $18,500 a year for a family of three. So it's not these are not people who have the expendable cash to spend on private health insurance. And another facet of this, I think, that is interesting is the court, from my understanding, basically said this is a political question. This is not a matter of law. We may think the legislature is wrong, but we don't have the standing, basically. It's not our role to be able to decide what that meant. So I'm interested to see how that plays out with other voter-approved mandates that are in Arizona that require or urge the legislature to act in a certain way.
That's exactly right, sir. I actually found it rather interesting given that, you know, I'm obviously no legal expert. I'm not a lawyer. I just play one in the newspaper.
Or on the radio.
Exactly. Yeah. But
don't you have a mail order legal diploma?
That's for something else, oh, okay. Bill. We'll talk all about right. that off okay. the air. But no, a week ago, the Supreme Court basically stepped in and backed the voters with the whole redistricting mess. And they said that Jan Brewer did not have the authority to kick Colleen Mathis off the IRC because the voters had said this and it didn't meet the standard of negligent conduct. I don't remember the exact wording. But then they came back here and said, well, this is a political issue. We don't want to get involved. So it's very interesting to kind of compare and contrast those two very important decisions to the state of Arizona.
It goes back to how crucial and imperative it is that you get the wording of what ends up going to voters absolutely pinpoint on, because that's impossible in a lot of situations because there's interpretation, there's wiggle room, and it's the kind of thing that if voters say yes, we want funding for low-income people to be covered by the state, and we're voting to approve this, and then the lawmakers say, well, you know, we don't really have to do that, and then a court says, not my job. Where do you go from there?
That's a great point, because I can promise you back in 2000 when they approved Healthy Arizona, that phrase available funds was never intended to be used the way it was here, but you know it was.
12:42 on the Buckmaster Show. This is the Friday Reporters Roundtable. You are listening to Jimmy Bogle of the Tucson Weekly and Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. We're going over some of the top stories of the week, and of course, it's been one of the Buckmaster top stories of the week probably for the last I don't know how many weeks, and it's redistricting. And every time that I interview a lawmaker, and we've been interviewing a lot of them here on the Buckmaster Show, yesterday we had State Representative Ted Vogt with us, the day before Linda Lopez, and the same thing comes up every time. They're not really sure, Jimmy Bogle, what district they're going to be in.
No, no one is. Well, and of course that makes sense. I mean, that was one of the reasons why I think Jan Brewer's and the state GOP's move to get rid of Colleen Mathis, saying these maps were unconstitutional, was frankly in my mind a bit silly, because the maps aren't finalized yet. And now they're talking about about trying to solidify some of the majority-minority districts and making sure that in these districts, I believe they want 10 of them, it's going to be sure that, you know, minorities have a very big say in who gets elected in those districts, something that the Department of Justice is very concerned about. So yeah, I mean, it's completely up in the air, not only on a state level, but on the congressional level as well. There's going to be 9 districts coming up next year. And, you know, a lot of people are kind of reaching out and deciding whether or not they're going to run for Congress when they don't know necessarily what district they're going to be running for. Of course, you don't actually have to live in the congressional district that you're running for, which is a funny little quirk of federal law. But still, that's an important thing because you want to be running in a district that you're not in, actually.
I didn't realize that.
Yep. It's a true fact.
Hmm.
Well, I guess that we could all find a lovely district somewhere in a far-flung area of the state and just – is that like working
hang
from home,
there.
I guess? Telecommuting?
Yeah, maybe. Sarah, what this all adds up to is that you're going to have a voter that is very confused when these final maps come out and perhaps their lawmaker is not in that district anymore. Well, I thought you were in that – it's going to be confusing.
And even more than that, I think it goes to fomenting distrust of the whole entire process. And that is very damaging. I mean, I am not a person who says, oh, the person in charge says it's so, so it's so. I – you know, that's not me, but
you rebel, you
question authority.
Yes, question authority. But
is that the bumper sticker that I saw on your car?
No. Actually, I had an underdog sticker, bumper sticker on my car, but it came off.
That's for the St. Louis Blues hockey team.
Yes.
Okay.
But my point is that if you discredit a process that affects everyone, that is fundamental to how our government works, and you discredit it to such a degree that everyone believes, or a significant number of people believe, that it's never going to be honest or legitimate, then you have undermined something that's really, really important. And that is that when people go to the voting booth, that they actually are doing something. Because if you undermine it and just discredit it, why bother? And it just pushes people away and it disengages people. And that serves the interest of people who don't want others watching what they're doing. Because it's just cynical and it's sad. And I think it just harms our entire process. So I hope that people will see this for what it is part of this process that plays out every decade, and not let the people who want us to just look away get their way.
Absolutely. Amen, sister.
Okay.
There are already enough obstacles to voting, you know, especially in the next election. There's going to be so many races from the top up on president on down to in terms of local level, you know, you're going to have the county commissioners, you're going to have your local legislators. There's already so many obstacles to get educated people out to vote. Making it so people are even more cynical about going to vote, that's a very, very bad thing. A
couple of other items that I have on my list, comments from our reporters. Richard Carmona was endorsed by the full city council. Sarah, any comment on that? Were you surprised about that?
Well, not really. I mean, okay. He's a local guy, I think. Oh, no, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it just seemed to come from left field. Or,
middle field. It came from the pitcher's mound, middle field. Remember that he also made his campaign announcement without the word Democrat in it.
Oh, okay.
But the idea that that he's a local guy, he's very well known here, it didn't surprise me, really, that local politicians are lining up already.
It did surprise me in one respect, not the respect that Steve Kozacik endorsed him because they worked together at the University of Arizona. And Steve Kozacik, God bless him, isn't exactly a party hack like too many politicians are these days. The thing that surprised me is that it happened so early. I mean, you know, we're still 11 months away from the election. And I think it really goes to show how Democrats are trying to get a united front behind Richard Carmona. I mean, Don Bivens is in the race. It wouldn't surprise me if he got out of the race relatively soon, given the amount of support that's kind of lining in behind Carmona. And Carmona's only been in the race for a couple weeks. I mean, the thing that did surprise me and I thought was revealing that was it happened so fast. Democrats definitely are trying to get in gear behind this guy because they think they actually have a chance. And he's probably the only one, save Gabrielle Giffords, who's got her own problems right now, that has a chance of actually getting that seat away from Jeff Flake.
Steve Kay will be our guest next Friday on the Friday Focus interview, and
Jimmy, I think you're scheduled to be with us. So that's going to be actually a phone interview with Mr. Kasacek, so you'll be able to ask him some questions from the Buckmaster Show.
Awesomeness.
Also on my list, let's try to touch on this. Sheriff Joe in hot water, a lot of people saying that they want him to resign. Anything going to come of that?
Our listeners not couldn't on your see that, but I just rolled my eyes, than I ever have.
Yeah.
But it's just despicable, and it's not new. It's just – disgusting.
Yeah, this is actually the thing that surprised me about the story was that it became such a big deal because a couple years ago, the East Valley Tribune, one of the dailies in the Phoenix area, actually won a Pulitzer Prize for talking about how Sheriff Joe's vigilance, for lack of a better word, against immigrants has actually – that would be a good word. I'm trying to be nice. Yeah. Has actually led to some other parts of his job suffering. And it surprised me that this story, which, you know, covered a lot of the same ground, is the one that's really gotten a lot of heat. I think it goes to show that Joe Arpaio's star is fading ever so slightly in Maricopa County.
12:50, that's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show on the Reporters Roundtable. We'll have Weekend Watch with Matt Russell coming up. Jimmy Bogle, we'll see you next week. And Sarah, we'll see you down the road and have a great holiday season. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Weekend Watch next on the Buckmaster Show.
RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives. Expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Oh,
No, I love to hear that music. It signals the weekend on the Buckmaster Show and Weekend Watch with the man that we have dubbed the Culinary Cruiser, Man About Town, award-winning Russell Public Communication owner, the man himself, Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Doing great, Bill. Just had a lovely lunch at Wilco, which is this wonderful spot down on University and Park. We're saying goodbye to our fall semester intern today, so we thought we'd have a lovely lunch at Wilco to bid her adieu. I am full. I'm stuffed, Bill, and that's not that doesn't happen all the time.
Well, it's been a good year for you finding wonderful places to eat. It's been so good, in fact, that I understand when you went to the closet today to try on the Santa suit for the for the Russell Public Communications Christmas party, it just didn't work.
You know, it doesn't work. And, you know, with all this great eating I've been doing, it's not a huge investment I have to make for the Santa Claus costume. I mean, if I go 4 days without shaving and put a hat on, you know, I'm Santa himself, unfortunately.
Well, I'm glad you had a great lunch, and I know you'll be back hard at work very soon at Russell Communication after you did duck out really at 9:30 this morning.
work is for Mondays, right, Bill?
Yeah. Speaking of Santa, how about dinner with Santa?
Yeah, this is going to be a great event tonight, right here on University Boulevard in Main Gate Square. At Pasco Kitchen and Lounge, Jolly Old St. Nick himself is going to be showing up at 5 o'clock. He's going to be the featured guest at the dinner tonight from 5 to 7. A great family event. A special menu has been prepared, one for adults, one for the kids. And if you bring a new and unwrapped toy, which Pasco will donate to Toys for Tots, we're going to take 10% off of the entire meal. But get this, evening is going to conclude with beignets in the classic New Orleans style, but Chef Romero Scavo actually uses champagne in the batter. So how do you make fried dough any better? You add champagne to it. It's a lovely holiday treat.
Oh, that's got to be a wonderful taste in the exploding in your mouth, as they say.
Indeed.
Fourth Avenue Street Fair getting underway today.
Yeah, we haven't talked a lot about Fourth Avenue Street Fair in decades. This is that iconic twice-a-year tradition down on Fourth Avenue all weekend long, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day on Fourth Avenue between 9th Street and University. They have over 400 artists are going to be there exhibiting all of their work, over 40 food vendors. I'd like to try each of the 40 just to give equal time to all. And they're going to have two live stages with live entertainment throughout the day. Bill, they're expecting 200,000 people. This is going to be a great party. Again, the 4th Avenue Street Fair all weekend long.
And grand opening this weekend of the Borderlands Brewing Company.
Yeah, craft beer industry is alive and well here in Tucson. Another one on the block. The Borderlands Brewing Company opening at 119 East Tool. Tomorrow from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., they're going to be offering some tastes of some of their great beers. I'm looking forward to trying the vanilla porter and the prickly pear wheat beer. Craft beer enthusiasts have much to celebrate here in Southern Arizona.
You're a Baltimore Orioles fan, aren't you?
You know, born and raised. Sometimes it's more painful to admit, but indeed, they're the team.
Well, I want to put in a good word for our newest sponsor of the Buckmaster Show, Tucson International Airport, which has landed Southwest Airlines nonstop to Baltimore. That means the crab cake Baltimore Orioles special might find you... you on board every weekend to see some Oriole action. Go O's.
I will definitely be a frequent flyer coming out of TIA on Southwest. I cannot wait, Bill.
Been a good year, though, hasn't it, for eating and rest the industry generally here in town?
Yeah, I mean, we call Tucson the culinary capital of the Southwest, and all you have to do is to check out some of these great local establishments. In fact, I'm going to be going up to one of your friends, Noble Hops, for some wonderful craft beer and a great dinner here soon. And all just these great restaurants here in town really put Tucson on the map on the Culinary Hall of Fame. And it's a great year for foodies and cocktail enthusiasts. We have much to celebrate here in Tucson.
Ann and I dropped by Noble Hops a couple of weekends ago, and I've got to tell you, I've never seen such a selection of beer. And I got to tell you that the fish was unbelievable. Had a piece of salmon, and it was delicious.
Yeah, we need to remind your listeners that Noble Hops has a wonderful food program. A lot of people think, well, it's just another beer bar, but au contraire, this is a top of the line gastropub, really defining the gastropub sort of setting in Southern Arizona, and the food is absolutely remarkable up there. I would encourage all of your listeners to go see Eric and the entire crew up at Noble Hop.
Yeah, Ann had the fish and chips, and I wound up eating probably half of it because I just couldn't control myself. It was the best fish and chips I have ever had anywhere in the world. I'm telling you, Noble Hops, not just because they are one of the Buckmaster Show sponsors, but they really have a fantastic menu out there. There's the music. That means Matt now gets back to work. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Bill. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. Fridays on the Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net. The Buckmaster Show also is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants, Mike Flowers and the gang, 2919 East Broadway. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of Team Buckmaster, it only takes two to be a team. My producer, Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. Have a great weekend.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.